Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
But the first thing I wanted to get to was quite serious. And, you know, serious but bonkers in a way, I suppose. And I put it up on Twitter last night, and I referred to government leaders, not necessarily in this country, but around the world, and particularly the UK. And Aisling kind of had a bit of a bash at me this morning. She said, no, you shouldn't have called them psychopaths. I'm sorry, they are psychopaths. Any government who believes this is a good idea, they're clearly psychopathic. They're nuts. They're off their heads. They're bonkers. They're not even thinking straight. But mind you, most of us have known that for the last 8 months anyway, that some of the decisions that have been made around COVID-19 have been bonkers. But the latest one, and if it's anything to go by the way, we will most likely do the same because the Irish government seem to do everything that Britain do. We've always done that. And during COVID-19, we've done more or less the same thing as well. They followed us a bit, we follow them a little bit. You know what I mean? So Matt Hancock, who is their kind of Stephen Donnelly, if that's even possible that there's another Stephen Donnelly, but he is their Stephen Donnelly, so to speak. Matt Hancock faced a furious backlash today after the bonkers plan that he said that he was going to give everybody £500 if they tested positive for COVID-19. Now, the proposal, which would cost £450 million a week, is aimed at encouraging people, pardon me, and more people to undergo swabs and self-isolate to stop the spread of COVID-19. Detailed on an official policy paper, he said it is to be the preferred position of Matt Hancock's Department of Health. In a round of interviews this morning, Environmental Secretary George Eustace refused to rule out the plan entirely, saying the ministers were looking at reasons why people were avoiding isolating with COVID symptoms. The €500 or pound, should I say, is about €700 payment for English residents would apply irrespective of age, employment status or ability to work from home. So it doesn't matter who you are, you get it. Another option proposes paying £500 only to those who can't work from home. And a further radical idea suggests paying affected people their usual earnings instead of the £500. But this could, of course, be difficult to calculate or assess, particularly for those who are self-employed. So in other words, if you earned £1,000 a week, they give you £1,000 a week if you self-isolate. Now, the idea of the plan is to encourage people to come forward for testing, to gauge the spread of COVID and observe all the positive cases around the country. There is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, it will be abused by less scrupulous people and certain people who will go out of their way to get COVID. And already, after the suggestion this morning, I've seen on Twitter and other places, young people in particular suggesting COVID parties where they would identify a COVID person and they would all hang around with him for the day. You know, with obviously the ability to catch COVID from them so they could all get the £500 payment. That is what would happen. There are people out there who will purposely go around licking COVID people just to get COVID-19 so they can get the £500. Now, I understand the principle behind it, and we have the same problem here in Ireland. And the problem we have is that many people in the private sector, particularly because you're in the public sector, you get paid anyway. You don't lose out financially, generally speaking. But in the private sector, those in restaurants and bars and everywhere else are those, your electrician, for example, had a message last night, I'll read out to you in a second, like your electrician, your plumbers and all those other people, if they get COVID, they're not going to go forward for a test. Unless they feel unwell, they're most likely not going to go forward because they lose out. They can't go to work. They can't put food on the table. They can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their rent. All those kind of things have to be taken into consideration. And in some sense, although irresponsible, you can't blame those people for feeling like that. So they're going, oh, I'm not going for a COVID test. Jeez, I can't. I mean, work this week. I feel fine. I'm grand. So they avoid at all costs going for a COVID test. People feel a little bit unwell, a bit of a cold. And by the way, 9 times out of 10, they probably just have a cold. But in saying that, according to the government, everybody should feel like everybody else has COVID. That's a kind of way of pitting human beings against each other. But anyway, also paying somebody to go for a test is not going to guarantee they will self-isolate. Have the government even thought about this? So the problem at the moment is people are not self-isolating. So Joey the plumber goes and he gets a test and he's positive and we give him £500 and we go, off you go now, Joey, self-isolate for 2 weeks. So he's just not going to anyway. If that was the way he felt, he's only going to get the £500. So I don't believe it's going to make an ounce of difference apart from inflating figures. And it gets the government to have more figures, more positive cases. Also, by the way, I've been looking online there and I noticed the WHO have now issued new guidelines to all governments in relation to PCR testing, saying to reduce the amount of false positives, they need to reduce the amount of cycles. So clearly the WHO accept that there is a lot of false positives. But I don't know whether governments have taken this on board. I think it was on the 14th of January they issued this these new guidelines to governments around the world. But I don't know if governments around the world are doing it, because Killian de Gascon, by his own admission, head of NPHET, said we were doing 35 to 40 cycles. And yet some of the best experts in the world on PCR testing said it's completely inaccurate at that kind of level, that it will pick up everything, including, as one expert suggested online, four different types of coronaviruses and doesn't identify which one is which. In other words, you may just have a common cold. That has been suggested by some scientists. Other scientists may disagree with that. But I think the WHO have suggested reducing those cycles. But I would love to know from the HSE and from the Irish government, have we reduced the amount of cycles on recommendation from the WHO? Because in turn, that would reduce the amount of cases that we're actually getting. Anyway, getting back to what I'm talking about, can you understand why people don't want to get tested? And let me give you one example, right? I read this out last night. We kind of did it as a topic. We were asking, was somebody irresponsible? And it says, "Hi, Niall. Last week, I got mild cold symptoms and decided to get a COVID test. The test came back positive, and I was telling a couple of my friends in case they needed to isolate. One of my friends is self-employed, and he begged me not to tell the HSE that I was a close contact. He was with me for 3 days previous to the test for about an hour each day, and we were as close as possible, but he has no symptoms. He's an electrician and he works for himself and told me that he's just started a 3 week job and he would lose over €2,000 if he didn't do it and he can't afford to go on the PUP payment as he has a mortgage and family to feed. The HSE called and I'll be honest, I didn't give his name. But I feel so guilty now. But if I had have given his name, I would have lost a friend. I know he's going to work. What will I do? I feel bad." And that was the topic we did last night, was that person being irresponsible. So that clearly points out that there are thousands of people across the country who might even feel a bit unwell, a little bit of a cold symptoms or whatever, sore throat. They're not getting a COVID test because they're working and they're afraid they might have to stay at home for 14 days. Or maybe they're not working, they just don't want to stay at home for 14 days. Now remember, of course, nobody stands outside your door for the 14 days. But in saying that, people might know and start judging you and all that kind of carry on. So I'm asking you, would this work to pay people, to give people money to actually go in and have a test and be positive? Would it work to pay people to be positive? That's bizarre to even say it, doesn't it? The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. In political history, in all the times I've worked on radio, this has to be the stupidest of ideas ever. But I'm sure there are people out there who will disagree with me and say, "Oh, well, no, I don't think it'll get people to come forward." Tommy, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Tommy?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Tommy, is it my imagination or is this the stupidest idea in the history of politics?
When I heard it first, I thought this is absolutely crazy. It's like an incentive to pay people to almost get the virus. But I was actually looking up on the BBC website this morning and I see the reasons behind it. I still don't agree with it, but the payment is actually for people to self-isolate.
Mm.
But the problem with this is that, I don't know, in Ireland, is it a legal requirement to self-isolate?
It's not a legal requirement, it's a guideline.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, if you tested positive for COVID tomorrow and decided to go off out and, you know, go for a drive and go for a walk or go to the shops, or mind you, if you live on your own, there is exemptions within the self-isolation where if you live on your own, you are allowed to go to a shop as long as you wear a mask for essentials. Yeah. But if you just kind of went on about your life and you were stopped by a guard, he can't actually fine you or charge you with anything.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
But in England, actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it is actually a legal requirement to self-isolate, and it's been a legal requirement since last September, you see.
Well, I suppose it's a moral requirement apart from anything else, isn't it?
Yeah. But the thing is, you see, if people aren't heeding the requirements or the legal requirements at the moment in England, which obviously they're not going to do it for, you know, 500.
But the problem they're saying in England, it's not that they're, you know, if people are testing positive, maybe they are staying at home for 14 days. But the problem is the majority of people who are close contacts or who may have a bit of a sniffle or a sore throat or whatever are not going for a test Because, you know, a lot of people, and I gave the example of somebody who's self-employed, for example, and, you know, and well, over here it's 300 euro. I'm not too sure what the COVID payment is in the United Kingdom, but it's a lot less, I think. It's just not going to cut the mustard. That's not going to pay your bills.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I mean, 300. Yeah. I mean, throwing £300 at people, which we've been doing since last March, or 350 initially as it was. It should be back, put back up to 350, by the way. 350. I mean, that for a lot of people, that's okay for those who had part-time jobs. But for somebody who was used to earning 700 or 800 a week and had a lifestyle set up around 700 or 800 a week, 300's no good.
Yeah. But you see, there's another. I agree totally, Niall. But there's another issue with it as well. How would you actually police this? You know, are you going to?
You can't police it. You can't.
There simply isn't the manpower. Which
no, unless you had a guard outside everyone's door. You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't police it. So, look at the pitfalls of this. And already, I've seen some stuff online on Twitter where people are identifying somebody with COVID and inviting them to a party.
And what's the logic behind that?
Well, the logic behind that is that they become COVID positive, go for a test and get 500 quid. And they realise, particularly young people, that COVID is a very little risk to them.
Yeah. That is exactly it, Niall, you see. With young people, but I'm in my 50s and I know a lot of people in my age group and they have a very cavalier attitude to the whole thing. You know, I'm very conscious about picking it up myself, even though I'm not in a vulnerable category, but I still don't want to pick it up. But I know a lot of people in my own age group, and you know, they're kind of very
blasé. A lot of people might have, but I mean, Tommy, you might have had it already and you didn't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us, I mean, there's been a couple of times throughout the year I've had a bit of a headache or whatever. Sure, maybe that was a symptom, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't feel grossly unwell that I had to go for a test. But the other thing to look at, Tommy, is here, right? This is going to cost the UK government 450 million a week. Right, yeah, so let's say they did this even for 6 weeks, right? Now you're up to nearly 3 billion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many lives could you save with 3 billion pounds sterling, right? Which is about roughly, I mean, it's a little over probably, when you work it out properly, calculate, it's probably about 3.5 million euro, right? How many lives could you save if you put that into cancer research, stroke, you know, educating people about not smoking? I mean, you could save so many more lives. The whole thing is not logical anymore.
No, there's no logic at all to it. It's just totally foolish economics. You know, even if they had that money, which obviously, as you said, be put into far better causes, you know. But I mean, you know,
there's no context to COVID anymore. COVID, it's almost become a worldwide obsession. Now, I understand people are dying from it, but 16 or over, I think it's now $17 trillion worldwide has been spent, not taking into consideration the loss to economies. 17 trillion has been spent on COVID-19. Can you imagine how many lives around the world we could save with $17 trillion in third world countries, cancer research, with a third of people die of cancer in the world every year? I mean, or a third of people who die of cancer. Can you imagine how many lives we could save with $17 trillion?
Yeah, I know it's been a huge cost to economies. Mm. You know,
17 trillion, that's not even comprehensible.
Yeah, but you see, people have an attitude, and it's very understandable because we've been living with this for practically a year now at this stage. And initially, as you know, everybody took the whole thing seriously because we were looking at images coming from Italy of, you know, mass deaths and people having to be transported to, you know, miles and miles to be buried in army trucks and all that kind of thing. So at the time, there was huge fear about it. But that fear isn't there anymore. You know, like, I remember at the start, and you would remember it as well, you'd be walking along a footpath and
people would be jumping out of your way.
Yeah, you'd either move or the other person would move. You know, there was that fear. But that fear isn't there now at the moment.
I think that fear is still there with some people. I do believe a lot of people have... Well, when I say I don't want to play it down, there are people who have died of COVID-19, there's no doubt about that. But we do realise that the mortality rate is not as high as we initially thought, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, although, you know, there's a lot of cases around the moment. But okay, well, you think it's a crazy idea, but you understand the principle behind it.
Well, I can understand why somebody may have come up with an idea like that as a sort of a financial incentive for people who may be on low incomes or, you know, as you
were saying. Let me ask the question I asked last night. Let's say me and you were mates, right?
Yeah.
And I'm self-employed and I'm an electrician, right? And I have a family, three kids, wife at home, and I'm feeding them and everything is going grand. And you get COVID-19, right?
Yeah.
And you're fine now. You're a bit of a cough, but you're grand, right? And you ring me and you say, listen, Niall, we were together yesterday for, you know, an old drink there outside or whatever in the back garden. I've just tested positive for COVID-19. And I said, Jesus, Tommy, don't tell the HSE when they ring you that I was with you. Don't put me down as a close contact. I can't afford to be off work. Please, please, Tommy, don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm your best mate, right? So yeah. HSE ring Tommy. So, Tommy, who have you been with for 15 minutes in the last 72 hours for more than 15 minutes? Would you tell them?
Well, you see, Niall, that is a very, very difficult thing, and I can understand, you know, that case that you mentioned earlier. To be honest with you, I would find it extremely difficult. You know, I don't think I could, in all fairness.
So you wouldn't rat out your friend, so to speak?
I don't think I could. If a friend said to me that, you know, if he pleaded with me and asked not for his name to be mentioned, you know, I don't think I could do that, in all fairness.
I understand, and a lot of people would have to choose, and this is happening constantly all the time, by the way. People are asking their friends who test positive not to mention their names because they may be self-employed or whatever.
Yeah.
But I understand that the moral dilemma somebody finds themselves in. It's either my friend, or am I irresponsible for not giving their name?
Yeah, just on that whole thing, Niall, and I don't hear any talk of it at all now, but the app that we have, and I have it on my phone, and my Bluetooth switched on.
Yeah, does anybody use the app anymore?
Hmm?
Does anybody actually use the app?
Well, this is it. I mean, I thought the app was supposed to do this automatically, that if, you know, if I was tested positive and I'd been with somebody maybe yesterday or the day before and they had their app turned on and their Bluetooth switched on, that it would automatically come up. So then I wouldn't be put in that position of having to, if you like, rat on somebody.
I think the app initially had a good take-up in the first week, but then there was this whole thing about the security aspect of it. I think it was Trinity College, some expert came along and said there was issues with security on the app, and all of a sudden loads of people removed it from their phone.
Yeah.
And then there was the issue with it wasting batteries on Android phones and all this. So I think basically it turned out to be a disaster, the app. I don't think it ever really made a difference. But stay there for a second. Let me go to Charles. Charles, you're a classic kid. How are you doing, Charles?
How are you doing,
Will? Charles, okay, I mean, the idea of paying somebody to go for a test to be positive, well, if you're positive, is it a good idea?
So, how many more stupid ideas can you come up with for this whole thing?
Well, I know. Honestly. On the scale of 1 to 10 of stupid ideas, this is up there at 10.
Just the app.
You're very muffled, Charles. Is your phone in your pocket or something?
Sorry there, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
The absolute lunacy, what's going on, is just... It's beyond belief at this stage.
Now, you know, Tommy sees the principle.
How many people do you know that's just going to say, you know what, I'm going to get down to someone that may not have had it, get the test done and going to get a quick €500.
Mm.
The way they're using the PCR test, apparently, the cycles and stuff. Sure, everybody's shown up as being positive.
Well, not everybody, you know, but a large percentage,
Okay,
large percentage, understand. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I think that people are just going to turn around and say, look, it's a payoff. And in regard to the government themselves, it's a way of just saying, here's more money. Shut up and just stay indoors for another few months.
And you're going to have a massive amount of people who are going to keep going back and forward for repeat tests just so they can be positive at some point.
Of course.
And then you're going to see a huge increase in positive cases, of course, because more people are going to come forward to get the £500.
It's just an endless circle. It's just stupidity.
Hmm?
It's in my opinion. I've been trying to go on the show for a few weeks in Ireland. I'd have pretty extreme views on it now, but I'm not going to go down that route. But
yeah.
I just think I hear you every day putting up different aspects of the procedures and this and that and all. And there doesn't seem to be any real overview of the whole thing. Like, we've been one of the most restrictive countries in the whole of Europe. And
yet we had the highest number of cases
and
over Christmas.
And yet we're in the situation we're in. And we are lauded. A couple of months ago, we had the lowest infection rate, apparently. And we are being lauded for it. And then we finished open. And we didn't even open up in all honesty.
No, we didn't.
We were in tier 3, tier 4. And we had a couple of days there. And people are out and they're saying, oh, it's your fault.
Well, there's a lot of blaming going on, all right, yeah.
The only thing to blame for this virus spreading is the virus itself. And that's it. I mean, it's just lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. Like, I have my own business. And fortunately enough, it's based on an awful lot of delivery service. So I've worked the whole way through. I play golf and I go to the gym.
Let me ask you the question I asked Tommy. If you were a mate of mine and you tested positive for COVID and I asked you not to give my name because I didn't want to lose out on some work, and I felt fine, I had no symptoms, John, and I asked you just not to give the HSE my name, would you not give them the name?
Of course I wouldn't. So listen, if I thought that I had a right and I gave it to you, Mike, and you thought you might may have had it and you have to go and walk, all you need to do is just don't go near any vulnerable people, which you wouldn't do in anyway.
Well, the government would argue that if I'm in the same building as, say, Aisling or Ruth or my boss or whatever, that there's a possibility I'll touch something, even if I'm in the studio here on my own, which I am all the time,
who in your building is actually vulnerable and they're going to be in a vulnerable position?
Yeah, well...
You know, and if they have a parent at home...
And you're right, and thankfully there's nobody in a vulnerable position, I don't think, in the building. But in saying that, I could argue that, well, you know, and I know some will argue the rabbit hole theory, well, they might not be vulnerable. They may have parents who are vulnerable, or they might have, you know, grandparents that are vulnerable.
Has anybody looked into the percentage chance of that actually happening?
It's probably very low. You're right, it's probably very low.
People are dying. I have a very close family member who is a nurse, and she's walking away now, and the hospitals are busy. But in the same sense, I was told 3 months ago beforehand when we opened up after the second lockdown, that the hospitals are really busy. And I said, is it over the COVID? And she says, no. The reason why the hospitals are busy are people are coming in 3 and 4 steps down the ladder of sickness because they haven't been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. How many people are in the hospital now that are on ventilation machines and on these kind of things and on these assisted breathing machines that haven't been diagnosed for COPD or haven't been treated for all these chronic illnesses that they have? And it's built up over the last 9 months, and now they're in the hospital because they won't look at it. And that's because of lockdown, not because of COVID.
No. I know. I time and time again, I've said this. Many, you know, the cure sometimes is worse than the disease, and I get that. But, Charles, getting back to the idea of the £500 payment in the UK, yeah, which will cost £450 million a week, which is outrageous. And the idea of that is that a lot of people who, you know, have symptoms are not coming forward for tests. Like you said, for example, you're self-employed because they're afraid they'll lose a week's work or 2 weeks' work.
Definitely. I've been listening before you put me on there. If they actually re-designated the money that they've wasted on yellow and red and black stickers and all this sort of stupidity on actually treating or setting up... They could have built 5 hospitals by now with the money they've wasted. Not in this country.
They could have built more than 5 hospitals. Even at the $3 billion it costs, they could have built more than 5 hospitals. Economists reckon so far this is probably going to cost us in the region, including the damage to the economy, the damage to business, probably $80 billion.
Yeah, well, they had $17 billion put aside this year alone just for COVID. Now that's PPE gear and all this.
Yeah, and that doesn't take into consideration the loss of tax returns and everything else, which we're going to see next year.
The long term effects on people's health.
I know. Look, I know all that. We're digressing from the topic and we're just going generally into COVID here. And I think we all get that at this stage. But I mean, is people not coming forward for tests going to make a difference?
If you're asymptomatic, apparently not. Like, I mean, all the studies seem to say that.
A lot of the studies do say that. But yeah, then again, it's hard to decide. And I agree with you, but it is hard to decide who's asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic.
No, I understand that. I totally understand that. But listen, as I said to you, if people, like, what is the percentage chance? I don't think there's, I don't know. I know a lot of people live with elderly people and stuff. I have, I don't want to go into that in person, but I have an in-law's father who's in the hospital at the moment. He's 82 years of age, has COPD. And if you listen to RTE, he'd be in a box by now. He's coming out of hospital today. You know, so, I mean, he's been on light oxygen for a couple of days. So the percentage chance of people actually dying, I know it's, listen, every death, I understand that. I mean,
don't get me wrong. Your grandfather, whoever it is, or in law, is very lucky because that's not always the case.
I'm not trying to take away from anybody at all. I understand there's other people who are out there.
Yeah.
But the percentage chance of people who are asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic going around and actually, at this stage, you can't avoid anything.
You can't avoid everything, and I get that, Charles. Okay, we're kind of gone into a general conversation there, and I didn't want to do that today. But I have to go into a break. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Tommy sees the principle behind paying the £500. Charles believes it's lunacy and just buys kind of into this whole fear that he's talking about that people have, which he believes, by the way, is an overreaction to the virus. Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. £500 for you to go for a test if you test positive. That's what they're saying in the UK. That's the suggestion. It's a genuine plan. Matt Hancock has said it. The Environmental Secretary is not ruling it out. And the argument for many people is people are going to, they're actually going to go out of their way to get COVID-19.
Niall, I'd never rat anybody out because at the end of the day, life is life. You have to work. They're not paying for your mortgage, they're not paying for your food, they're not paying for this, they're not paying for that. I'm self-employed myself, as you know, okay? To be honest, if I get it, I have to work. That's the way it goes, unfortunately. Cheers, pal.
Well, if he gets it, he has to work. That's just the way it goes, pal.
Niall, that's absolutely laughable. £500 if you test positive for coronavirus. To be all around queuing and one of our scaff coughing in each other's mouths. That is the most ridiculous idea during all this madness. But it'd be just funny watching everybody going around and having like almost like chicken pox parties back from the 80s and 90s. But yeah, it's not the first crazy idea the English have had in their history.
Yeah. Well, I remember the chicken pox parties. They still go on, by the way, to some degree. Obviously, it's not a conscious decision. But I remember that years ago, your ma would find out that a kid down the road had chicken pox and they'd nearly be rubbing you off them just to get it out of the way early in your life. Because, of course, chicken pox is probably the classic example of herd immunity. It is the most amazing example of how wonderful the human body is at producing essentially its own vaccine. And producing immunity, so we become immune to it. And also, you know, increasing our T cells, as they call it. And because once you get chickenpox once, you can't get it a second time. I think it's quite rare that you can get it a second time anyway. And also then later in life, but isn't that whole confusion? If you don't have chickenpox, you can get, what's the other thing you got as an adult? Shingles, that's the one. Yeah, sorry. But I remember hearing that if you didn't have chickenpox, you can get shingles as an adult. But I don't think that's true. I think you have to have had chicken pox as a child to get shingles as an adult. And here's the crazy thing, because I know, because I got very mild shingles last year or the year before. To get shingles as an adult, you have had to have chicken pox because it lives in your spine for your whole life. This is what the doctor told me. So it lives at the back where you get the shingles, which is around from your backbone to your boob, so to speak. That kind of arch that it goes around, and if you normally get the rash, it'll come around there from shingles, which can be very dangerous, by the way. But it lives in the back of your spine, the chickenpox virus. That's what you tell me. Now, I don't know who that is. Maybe that's another urban myth. Keep texting. Keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Now, so going back to, by the way, that message that we got last night. I mean, would you, if your friend asked you to do that, would you do it? Would you not tell the HSE that he was a close contact? Or would that be completely irresponsible? Let me go to Frank. You're on Classic Hits. Frank, now, it is in the government guidelines that you must obviously tell the HSE if somebody is a close contact. You know what I mean? And you must, you know, that you can't lie to contact tracers. But, I mean, it comes down to, I suppose, your own morals. It's completely irresponsible. What would you do?
How are you, Noel?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wouldn't be telling the HSE anything, Noel, to be fair. It's none of my concern. I mean, look, I don't get this whole quarantine business. I didn't get this quarantine self-isolating business at all.
Well, there's a reason behind it, isn't it? It's because you don't infect other people. That's the whole reason, isn't it?
No, well, I'll tell you, Noel. I'll tell you. Now, listen, I know, whether you think the virus is as serious, I know we've had this, you've had this debate now over the
few. Well, some people do, some people don't. And that's obviously people's opinions. Yeah, okay,
that's fine. At the end of the day, we are where we are. Like, I do not see a need to sell anyone to self-isolate. If I have COVID-19 now, and I'm sitting there with you in that studio, a meter away from you, or next to you, and I have a mask on, and you have hand sanitizer there in front of me, there's not a hope, if we believe what they've been telling us all along, Noel, about the mask and the self, the sanitizer.
Yeah, and that's all well and good if everybody did that. But
exactly.
Yeah, but hang on. I was in a shop yesterday and, like, I had my mask on and everything else. And there were people walking around and, yeah, they had their mask on, but it was on their chin or on their mouth or on their... And I suppose the masking thing won't work if people didn't wear them properly.
But
what the government will argue. Yeah, everybody has a different view on it, and I get that.
And unfortunately, Noel, you can't. If I was that chap that you spoke about there a while ago, that electrician.
Okay, let me be clear, by the way. So the government guidelines say that you must obviously tell the truth to contact tracers. But this was a message in from somebody last night who said he got it, he's tested positive, and his mate has begged him not to tell the HSE contact tracers that he was a close contact. Now, he says he didn't, but he felt bad about it, and he felt irresponsible, but he didn't want to lose the friendship of his mate. So it is a kind of moral dilemma that you're put into, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
So, what would you do, Frank, in that situation?
I don't think I'd tell the mate. Because the HSE and the government or whatever aren't paying that chap's mortgage and putting food on the table.
And I understand as a friend why you would make that decision. But then you have to look at other people that will turn around to you and say, but that's completely irresponsible, Frank, because then you're risking other people's lives. What happens if he's COVID positive, the electrician, and he runs around and goes into someone's house the next day who might be vulnerable and passes it on?
Okay. Now, I spoke to one of your girls there early on about this. Let me just throw this out there at you. We're never going to get out of this situation, Noel, whether you think it's COVID is serious or it's not serious. As I said, we are where we are, right?
Yeah.
The country's in lockdown.
Yeah.
There's people losing their minds. There's people losing businesses. And there's probably people going to lose houses. Because with the carrying on of the banks, we know what the banks are like, okay? They're not going to give two you-know-whats down the road about people that's in arrears with their mortgages about any COVID, right?
Yeah.
So we know that. Now, Noel, let me just give you this, because just briefly, last Saturday night, I got up out of bed, I couldn't sleep. And I said, I wanted to go and get diesel in my car. So I said, I went down. So I stopped off in Costa, down at Fingers there beside me, and I got myself a cup of coffee. And as I put my bum on the seat in the car, Noel, the 9 o'clock news just happened to be on. And Tony Houlihan was telling us all about this new Brazilian
variant, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Now, and then I just said to myself, I says, my Jesus, that's all we need, yeah? I said, that's all we need now in the place, right? So anyway, I drove on down, I was down through Ballymun, down Santry Lane, turned left. I get a drop of days up in Collinstown there. And next of all, there's two nice guys. Hand up, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get diesel. Went up, got me diesel oil, and I'm driving up along the airport, parallel to the runway. And what's landing there beside me, Noel? A big, massive, second Turkish airline. And I just said to myself then, it angered me, Noel.
I know, you know, it angered you that the guards were stopping you going a few kilometres to get a bit of diesel.
Yes.
And meanwhile, people are coming from thousands of miles away from a different country into Ireland.
What I want to say,
Noel. Hang on, with respect, there is rules now coming into Ireland. But you're coming from Turkey, no matter where you come from, they have to have a COVID test, a negative COVID test.
Is that the PCR?
That's the PCR test, yeah.
Now, let me explain to you, Noel, about a PCR, as the doctor only said there last week or so. Me and you go and get that 72 hours ago, right?
Yeah. It's only valid for the moment, really, that you get it, isn't it? I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but me and you arrive at the airport today, Noel. And as a nice girl says to you there, like, my heart went out to her there the other day, the girl that rang you from the airport about going over to visit someone that's
very unwell, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
And she was saying no one asked her for proof of that test. So regardless of that, well, let's just say, Noel, me and you have that piece of paper in our hand. And 12 hours ago, unknowns to you, I was in contact with someone and I got COVID. It didn't show itself yet.
No, I get you. It's like an NCT, because when you go for an NCT, it just tells you your car is roadworthy at that particular moment in time.
Yeah. Noel, a lot of people aren't going to like this now, right? Let me just say it now, because fair play to now for bringing this issue up, I have to say. Fair play to you, because a lot of them seem to be afraid to do it. Your colleagues there earlier, you know, radio show was talking briefly about it, but they'd be afraid to offend people or hurt people. There's no reason, Noel, for anyone to want to go away, okay?
But go away where?
Go away anywhere, Noel.
What, to a foreign holiday, like?
A foreign holiday.
Would you stop? A lot of people want to go away. They do want to. It's whether they can or not is different. Actually, we're going off on a tangent. Stay there for a second, Frank. I want to go very quickly to Joe. Sorry, Joe, I've only got a minute. Go ahead.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
You think Frank is wrong and you would follow the government guidelines, and if the HSE rang you, it doesn't matter what anybody said, you would give their name.
I would, yeah.
Right, okay. And why, like, I suppose your friend would be disappointed with you in the kind of the hypothetical case that we gave earlier on. You wouldn't mind if you lost the friendship of that person. You believe it's your moral duty, I suppose.
Well, the way I look at it is, right, I have an underlying condition. I have asthma, right? And I think at the moment, the way things are, I think we have to stick this thing out for as long as possible, because it is getting worse before it gets better, like, you know?
Yeah, okay. And what do you say to people like Frank, who says he wouldn't rat on his friend to the HSE?
I think he's just putting himself at risk.
And putting and others, it, putting himself and
putting
others.
Putting others at risk, yeah, because to be honest, like, you know, this virus is a lot more dangerous than what they're saying, you know?
It's a lot more dangerous than what they're saying.
I think it is, yeah. But the way they're talking, like, they're talking...
With the greatest respect, Joe, I think we're all of a very good idea. There's a fair amount of fear being promoted, so I doubt it's more dangerous than they're saying.
Yeah.
I think it's dangerous, but I don't think it's more dangerous than they're telling us.
Yeah.
If anything, like, probably quite the opposite. So anyway.
Yeah, but I think we still have to be careful because, you know...
Absolutely.
We're in the height of winter and it isn't the best time of the year to be picking anything up, like, you know?
We couldn't agree with you more. Our immune systems are always shot this time of the year at the best of times. Listen, I have to go to a break. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Numbers 087-188-0008.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.